you may have about your experience in the exercise or questions that arise out of it. In English would be more easy for me to understand. And maybe I've forgotten to ask until now, maybe if you could just tell me your name when you speak and I might remember it.
Rotem.
Rotem. Right. What was it that, so it can be certainly unusual to experience something that feels very intimate. Usually we kind of go through a whole slow, gradual relational process of checking others out before we allow for a certain degree of intimacy. So what was difficult, when you say it was difficult to have that kind of intimacy, what was difficult about it? Right. So it's kind of exposing, you know, intimacy suggests some kind of closeness, which can be exquisite in some way to feel that closeness, but it also suggests vulnerability, right? Intimacy suggests that we open ourselves and we don't know. And so it's actually really helpful to the process of inquiry to let ourselves be vulnerable in that way, even though it may feel, like you say, like unknown territory. And as the days go by and we do more of these exercises, part of what happens is that the field of presence, the field of inquiry that we're developing deepens, and with it the field of trust deepens as well. So I would say it's important not to expose yourself more, you know, too much, more than you feel safe to, but also to, you know, to trust that process as much as possible, to let yourself be revealed. It's very interesting that often there's things that feel like kind of dark secrets about ourselves, things that feel like it would be terrible if others knew. And actually, when we dare to just put it out there, it's not so terrible. We might feel, oh, my mind is such a mess, and everybody else seems to be sitting in such kind of beautiful posture, and they must be having beautiful meditation. My meditation is so terrible, messy, my mind is such a mess. Feels like some shameful thing. And yet to actually, you know, simplicity of my mind is a mess. It doesn't kind of say anything about who I am. It's just not some kind of honesty about the conditions. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, the fact that the intimacy can reveal both a closeness and a shared field, and it can also certainly be exposing and vulnerable. Yeah,
some kind of relief after exposing myself. Mm-hmm. Something that when I observe myself and I'm aware of myself, it's nice and important and beautiful and different. But then I'm dealing with another person,
something in the relieving. I'll try and reflect back, but when you speak, I know it's difficult. It's kind of helpful if you can try to speak loud enough that you think others can hear, because others are interested in what all of you say. So it sounds like in the exposing, in the sharing of saying, is it me making this noise? No? Okay. That something felt very free in the here I am, just like this. So how is it now? Here you are, just like this. How are you doing? What's how are you feeling right now?
Right now, I feel one time in my life, I was into hiding myself.
Right. Right. Beautiful. I guess many of you didn't hear. But Ram was saying about feeling a lot of relief. He says, for a long time, I was hiding myself. I felt I had to hide myself away. And so, just experiencing the freedom and relief of just being able to show up. Here I am. Beautiful. Yeah. What's your name? Amit. Okay. Amit, could you stand up? I think I could hear you better and maybe others could too. And here you are. Okay. Can you tell what was it about the contact that felt comforting? So it felt something, I can't remember the exact word you used, but something comforting, something beautiful about being offered that attention, being given that chance to speak and to explore. So it's very much what we're providing for each other. In the same way that we're using our own capacity to be aware in meditation to reflect our experience, we're really offering each other in the inquiries that same mirror-like reflection, offering each other the invitation to explore, to take the time, to take the space, to see where we're at. And so it's really the same process, whether there's an inner exploration or whether there's a shared exploration. And it's just two different forms for the same investigation. Yeah. What's your name?
Sophia.
Half. That's okay, I can manage. Okay. Half manage. Sophia. Okay.
Usually in the inner conversation, we judge ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We argue.
Say I rather than we, because it's about your experience. Right. So you felt freer to speak without being judged by the other or by your own internal process of judging.
Because there was no conversation.
It was only hearing. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. That's an important part. part of it. That's why I was asking really not to deviate from the question, so that it's really just an offering of the possibility to explore. And like you're saying, you know, we're not doing it for a conversation. It's not about discussing and throwing in lots of ideas. It's really about just seeing. Oh, how do I lose awareness? Oh, what is it to be aware now? Where's that going? Thank you. Yes.
And her partner. And I would like to say something about the listener hearing. It was very special. Usually when I listen, I already very deeply think about how I'm going to respond, how I'm going to reveal myself to
And that quality of non-judgmental, attentive listening is the same quality whether it's applied to somebody else or whether it's about listening to our own experience as well. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
There's something interesting. I found that there was a large correlation between the things that make me lose awareness and the things I'm aware of right now. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I was thinking about my breathing and then suddenly I get a thought about something, I become very aware of that thought. So it's not so much as lose awareness, but shift awareness to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's kind of wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not so much that our awareness ought to stay on one thing and one thing only, like the breath. Actually, the more steadiness there is of awareness, the more it's able to go wherever it wants, to get drawn to whatever aspect of experience calls it, without getting lost. But what easily happens is what starts as a shift in awareness gets followed through by a loss of awareness. Right? So we start, oh, I'm aware of my breathing. Oh, yes, I remember about breathing. It's a bit like when I go swimming. Oh, yes, I'm swimming. Oh, I remember being at the beach last week and going swimming. Oh, right. That's not a shift of awareness. That's a loss of awareness, right? And just caught up in some progression. So just to discriminate. Similarly, there might be, the awareness of the breath, but then something in, some physical discomfort or some emotional movement or some memory calls our attention, and we don't get caught up in it, but we're actually just kind of tracking its movement and tracking its unfoldment. We'll speak more about that as the days go by. So if it's a shift in awareness, I'd say that's fine, but just to be really careful around when the shift becomes a loss, when the awareness kind of disappears and just what I was calling earlier, the momentum takes over. Yeah. What's your name? Shanin.
Mm-hmm. And then I ask myself if I'm not
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, I think it's not about making up answers, but actually listening for the answers. It's about discovering answers and what's actually happening. So that often we can actually be hearing the answers that we didn't know were there, that we're discovering them in real time, as it were. You know, tell me a way you lose awareness. And then we actually see a way that happens, that we're seeing, maybe we know, or maybe we're seeing it for the first time. And the other thing to say, I would say, that's interesting to inquire into, how come you wanted to change it? Like, what's going on in you? What that might be restlessness, or rebelliousness, or some kind of dissatisfaction, and just to track that in yourself as you're listening, just so that you're not caught in that restless or rebellious or dissatisfied movement, but are actually able to track it. So part of being present as the listener is being present to whatever's there. If you're listening with judgment or with boredom or with restlessness or with distraction, just actually getting conscious around that. Okay, so listening with projection. Right? Listening with projecting what the other might be feeling or might be thinking or what they could be or should be thinking if I did it differently. And just reckon, oh, that's what's going on. And yeah, I'm kind of trying to take care of the other person's response. And then if we really recognize that, oh yeah, that's not my job. That's their job to take care of their response. And coming back. Tell me a way. Okay. Yes. Okay. So in a way, these exercises are just the beginnings of our inquiry. You know, over the days, we'll see a lot more about the ways we lose awareness. We'll see a lot more about what we're aware of in any given moment. So, it sounds like the question's impacted you in different ways. And it's not that that means anything particular. Necessarily, but more we're kind of kick-starting these inquiries that then can reveal more of themselves.
Okay. Yeah. I like to make the interaction when
Giti.
Giti. Yeah. The interaction made me realize that I'm the biggest judge of myself. Because when someone that I don't know was in front of me and he didn't respond to any of my answers, there was only me left judging, you know? So there was no one else to blame. It's me judging myself. And then the first question made me realize that most of the things that made me lose awareness are thoughts that are preoccupied. I'm more preoccupied when I'm losing awareness than thinking about nice things or pleasant things. And this itself made me realize how judgmental I am about myself. Because the fact that I'm even thinking about it. And then the other person doesn't say anything, so it's just me.
Could you hear? No. So Gitit was just saying the exercise made her realize how judgmental she is of herself because the other person is just kind of a blank sheet. All they're saying is thank you. So then whatever judgment there is of how did I do that or what was going on or it must be me doing all that complicated stuff. You know, the other person isn't giving me anything. How was it to see that?
It's that. But it's inspiring because it makes you feel that you can change. I mean, it's like you said before about intimacy. It's just putting yourself out there without judging yourself. And then when you don't judge yourself, maybe the other person in front of you won't judge you. Mm-hmm. But when you judge yourself and you let it show, then you give the other person in front of you a good reason to judge you as well.
And actually, if you're not judging yourself, it really doesn't matter right. whether they're judging you or not.
Right.
They're in their own movie. So, can be daunting, it sucks, like you say, to think, I'm doing all that complicated stuff. And yet, simultaneously, that can be inspiring by sensing the possibility of a way of being that isn't shrunken, limited, manipulated by judgment. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Before we talked about
what's your name?
Ran.
Okay.
Talked about this container, right? And then question we asked about what I'm aware now is more like pointing with this, maybe narrow, maybe narrow thing that I'm aware now.
Well, that needn't be narrow, I would say. So Ran's asking, before I spoke about the container of experience, and asking, you know, about the connection between that and the question, what are you experiencing now? So another way to put that might be, what's apparent, what's showing up right now, most predominantly, in this medium of experience, in the psyche, in awareness. What's standing out in our experience right now? It may be something narrow and particular. It may be something larger. It may be something very particular. It may be something more general. But the exercise is really about learning to discriminate the way things are appearing in awareness, appearing and disappearing within this context that receives all our experience. Normally, we see things in a more narrow way. So, I'm aware that it's 6:30, and I think, oh, supper. And I think, oh, I wish that guy would stop talking up the front, and then I can get to supper. And then our experience kind of narrows to me, hungry, supper, time. Whereas if there's a bit more space for that, we can recognize and go, oh, I'm kind of hungry and I'd like supper. And know, well, let me, you know, supper's going to come. And so just have enough space not to get tight around that. So the difference between identifying with our experience and recognizing its appearance in awareness.
Well, you see a lot of points in the way.
Certainly can be. But the more skilled we are at recognizing the way things are appearing in awareness, the more we start to have a sense of what the nature of the context or the medium of experience. Yeah. And that which is animating our life. Yeah. Okay. So, it's 6:30. Time for supper. So we'll stop here. And I'd just like to really encourage you to just be careful and caring around the transitions into speaking, the exercise, and back into silence. So that, you know, we when we do this kind of relational bit in the afternoon, we're expanding our field of presence and inquiry. And then we're coming home, coming back to what's basically kind of our home in this retreat, which is our own medium of experience. Resting in your own awareness. And just using the simplicity of body, in the walking meditation, breath and belly in the sitting meditation. Equally, just the simplicity of just knowing eating during eating meditation. So seeing if you can eat in such a way that eating appears within the medium of experience. So we're really learning to just inhabit ourselves more and more, inhabit where we're at more and more. So that sense, rather than being caught in the momentums, can be more fluid, more free, can reveal more and more about the nature of being here. So coming back into silence for supper, and we'll meet again for meditation here at 7:30.